Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Dave Fremland Show. I am Dave Fremland, and today is Saturday, and it's still June, the seemingly longest month ever. And I'm still here in San Diego, and how it's going. Oh, by the way, I'm Dave Fremland, host of the Dave Fremland Show. I hope I put that in there. And this is take two, because I've already screwed up one whole take. Okay. So, here's what's happening. Okay, I really didn't do a podcast because I, first of all, am working without my normal microphone, and so it feels weird. And second of all, I just came last week back to San Diego after a 1 week long drive. I spent 1 week recuperating from the 1 week drive. And
you are listening to the Dave Fremland Show.
To share with anyone who's interested out there.
Takes a super duper long time.
Yeah.
To boot it up.
Anyways, and now tonight I'm gonna
not
give you some information.
Yay!
A doctor.
Which I forgot what it is, right? You're listening to the Dave Fremland Show.
Yay!
I guess we'll see what happens, right?
It's a really interesting thing. I've been living in Florida in an empty house. In fact, two empty houses. And I've been kind of freaked out about being in this empty house because I'm like, where's all my stuff all the time? It feels empty. And then I came back to my house in San Diego, and I'm going to tell you something. My vision of how much stuff I had in my house is very different than how much stuff I actually have in my house, which is about, I'm about off by about four times as much. So, and if you would have came into my house and you would have told me my house was cluttered, I would have told you, oh, no, I know where everything is. It's completely organized. But you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. When I was living in this house last year, I was suffering from very severe mental illness for like probably the last 5 years. I was getting help for it, but it was definitely a transition from the severe mental illness into mental health. And I would have told you that my house was not cluttered. And looking around my house right now, I've packed already 11 boxes. I've packed 11 boxes so far, and from cabinets various and closets various. And I have also taken 2 loads to Goodwill, and I have another load building for Goodwill. And I have tossed out no less than 4 entire bags of garbage. And I will tell you something. If you came into my house right now, you would still not even know that I packed a single thing. And you would still think, what a cluttered house. And I'm amazed by it because I had no idea. I was in denial. So if you, here's my advice for you. This is going to turn into something positive. All my things have to turn into something positive or there's no point in living through the negative. So what am I getting and what can I impart onto other people? First of all, it's the frog in the hot water pot, you know? The clutter did not happen in one day. It happened slowly over time. Part of it was my own cluttering mess, and part of it was people giving me stuff and me not having the ability to say, no, I don't want this or need this. And so here I am left having to get rid of stuff that people gave me out of the goodness of their heart, and it doesn't feel good. It would have felt better to just say, no, I can't use this. Give it to somebody who can use it. But there is good quality stuff that I'm keeping. I'm not just wholesale throwing everything away. I am sifting. I gave myself a very protracted move date of September 30th. And that can actually be moved to October depending on events that could occur that I could enjoy doing while in San Diego, which happened in October. So that all depends on the vaccine issue, which I'll get to later. But so what am I going to impart? If you live in a house and anybody has come into your house and looked around for a place to sit or has indicated that in any way that you have clutter and you don't think you do, I invite you to go somewhere else for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, a place uncluttered, like a hotel. And I invite you to then come back to your place.
You are listening to the one and only Dave Fremlin Show on Podbean.
And take a note of how much stuff you actually have. And then decide what's really yours and what isn't. I do the Spark Joy method, the Maria Kondo method. I touch the thing. I remember what it did for me when I first obtained it. And I decide, do I want this or not want this? And most of the things in my house I really don't need or want. So that has become, it's partially stressful and it's partially not stressful. But I had the moving company come yesterday to give me estimates as to what it will cost for full pack and move, and then partial pack and move, and then zero pack, just move. And then I throughout the course of the next month, will be filtering through things. I don't want to do it every day and overwhelm myself. I want to slowly, the rule is one box or two, one box packed, one box gotten rid of, and one box trashed per day. Let's make that the rule. So three boxes of removal from the house per day. And that in 30 days should be 90 total boxes of removed items from the house. That's quite a bit. I might not live up to that goal, but we'll shoot for that goal. Okay. So that's what's happening with me. And how has my mental health been handling that? Well, you know, it's never particularly easy. Oh, there's a hummingbird. I used to have a hummingbird feeder right outside my door, and the hummingbirds got used to it. And when they don't see the feeder there, they come and they tap their little beak on the door to get my attention and tell me that the feeder's empty. So I have to go put a hummingbird feeder out. Anyway, see, not, I'm not only just about being bitter about politics and not just hating Fauci. I also love hummingbirds. I also have on my balcony the most beautiful Gloriosa plant that I bought. I bought the bulbs at the Del Mar Fair many, many years ago, and it took them 2 or 3 years before they bloomed. And now every year I get the most amazing Gloriosa blooms, and they're a hummingbird plant. They attract hummingbirds. So I have a beautiful Gloriosa vine, and it's in bloom right now. I got back in San Diego just in time. The blooms opened up like within the last few days, just as I've been opening up since getting back to San Diego, my blooms. And I love them. Gloriosa vines, look them up. They're beautiful. I also love to dance, and I love to sing. I had a very amazing music lesson this week with a teacher named Jordan Miller. His musical company is called Theater for the Young. I'm not young, but I'm an exception because I'm so amazingly gifted. No, I'm just kidding. I met Jordan Miller at a musical theater workshop at Point Loma Playhouse, probably at the end of 2016, somewhere in there, right before I fell into my mental illness situation. And I began a musical theater class with him, and I discovered some parts of my musical talent that I never knew I had. This guy is very physical, and he's very kinetic, and he's very able to bring out parts of your musculature, especially musical musculature, that you could possibly not be even aware of. And through that class, I didn't even finish the class. I went for about 3 weeks, and I had to go get help for something. And I was so enamored of working with this person because his ability to bring out the musculature that I needed in order to use my vocals correctly, I felt just very strongly about it. And I called him up when I was ready, and he gives me private lessons. And you can call him yourself for, you know, pricing. I don't give out pricing because sometimes people change their pricing, and I don't want to lock him into my deal. So you could call him. His name is Jordan Miller. And I love to dance also. And see, I'm not just a bitter political, you know, I'm not just mean and political and, you know, one-sided, like all this stuff. I'm a very artistic. I love art. I love the arts. Like you know, people think if you're a conservative, that you're just this, you know, bitter American flag waving, beer drinking, beer belly Texas Southern guy with Confederate flags and whatnot, but that's not really true. What's really true is people of all walks of life.
I'm Dave Fremland, and you are listening to the one and only Dave Fremland Show.
With all different careers and talents and everything, can also be conservative, because conservative means you love what's here, what gave you the ability to be what you are. The foundations need to be solid. That's what conservative means. And in America, the foundation, it comes from the Constitution. You know, I have a copy of the Constitution right here in front of me, talk about the Constitution. I am very fond of the Constitution. I keep a copy right here with me. This copy is the size of a checkbook. It fits in my back pocket. It fits in my backpack. It fits everywhere. And it tells you all of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the preamble, the amendments, and it gives you some footnotes and background as well. And I'm amazed what a simple, easy-to-read document and how easy to carry it with me it is in case I ever get in trouble with the law. The law really is this. Any laws after this don't really 100% count, okay? But I'm not encouraging anyone to break the law. So this is what this says on the back. Let's see if I can read it. This is something I signed because I am an American and I agree with the Constitution and I signed the Constitution. With the original signers, I, as one of we the people of the United States, affirm that I have read or will read our U.S. Constitution and pledge to maintain and promote its standard of liberty for myself and for my posterity, and do hereby attest to that by my signature, David Ira Fremland. And then my witness is George Washington. And I carry this with me wherever I go because I have a sworn duty as an American to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And I think it's important to know what's in it if you're going to uphold it. Okay, that's topic number two. Now, what is topic number three? I don't want to bore you with all my personal stuff. Topic number three is, if you don't want to take a vaccine, don't you think, you know who forces people to take vaccines? Nazis. And now we have evidence emerging. If you connect all the dots, okay, this is why conspiracy theories form, because what you have is you have a set of facts over here, boom, boom, boom. And then you have another set of facts, seemingly unrelated, but in a similar vein. And then you have another set of facts over here, three or four, maybe five clusters of facts. And within those clusters of facts, there's a thread that connects all of those clusters. That is where, my dear friends, conspiracy theories are formed. If you just take each cluster of facts individually, you have what my brother calls, you know, a pile of fires. And my brother, he's a liberal. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want you to firebomb him. Although I reserve that right for myself. He's a family member. I can torture him if I choose. So here's the thing. He's a liberal. And he believes that this set of facts, okay, let's just do an example of real facts, okay? There's a vaccine out. It's an experimental vaccine. It's been pushed through due to the fact it's experimental, meaning that there are no other treatments available and that this, therefore, must be used as experimental treatment. Okay, that's a set of facts. There's another set of facts. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and vitamin D, are known to be able to cure COVID. And these facts are being suppressed, which is the fact of these facts is that they're being suppressed. So you have these two set of facts. Unrelated, they seem like, well, there's this thing going on over here, and there's this thing going on over here. But if you connect them with a thread, what's the thread? The thread is that without the suppression of fact group number two, fact group number one wouldn't exist. So then, where's the conspiracy, though? Well, then you have fact group number three. You have Dr. Fauci, involved with the Wuhan lab, denying any...
The Dave Fremlin Show is now available on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcast, and iHeartRadio. If you like listening to The Dave Fremlin Show, don't forget to follow me and subscribe to my podcast and share me with a friend. Thank you and have a nice day.
Gain-of-function research, cause of the actual virus. And you have him also heavily invested in vaccines. You have there a conflict of interest set of facts, suppressed, plus suppressed medications that will cause a vaccine to go onto the market. And it seems to me, if you look ignorantly, like many, many liberals, I'm going to use my brother as an example because he always likes to be an example. He thinks he's, you know, the one that should be the example, as most liberals think they are. Anyway, if you asked him, he would say, oh no, these are not deliberate. They're just random facts. And these things are unrelated, but just coincidental. And in my opinion, that's bullshit. Because I don't see how that could be a coincidence when there's too many. If you just lay out the facts and then just connect the dots, the trail is too full of Reese's Pieces to not lead E.T. home. I'm telling you. And so, and if you don't get that reference, then you're probably too young to really understand everything I'm talking about in my podcast because you haven't had enough lived experience. Okay. So what I want to say is, here you have this experimental vaccine, and you have all these side effects that people will not talk about, but they are documented. All you have to do is go to the VAERS website, V-A-E-R-S, Vaccine Adverse Effects Registration or Reporting System. That's what it stands for. And there are thousands of adverse reactions. Many of them are to the polyethylene, I think it's called polyethylene glycol, which is the delivery method, causes anaphylaxis. All right. And there's other things that cause blood clots, et cetera, spike proteins. It's not good. And you're going to like lower and lower. Why are you forcing? Here's my question. This is so Nazi to me. This so reminds me of Nazis. And I want to know why are people's head in the sand? And then I asked myself, you know what? During the Nazi era of Germany, people's head were in the sand. I went when I was on tour in Europe. I went on a tour called the Bavarian Tour, in which I visited sites in Bavaria all the way to, I went to Munich, I went to Salzburg, I went to Austria. And I visited many of the sites of which were Jewish camps, concentration camps, where I went to, what was the name of that one that I went to? It was one of the first ones, and it was outside of Munich, not Auschwitz. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was one of the first ones there. And, you know, when you get off the train, okay, what I always learned is that the German people were ignorant of the events that were occurring in the concentration camps, that they were turning a blind eye. And I thought, okay, well, if these trains took people out into the suburbs, out into the rural area, and there's some camp built out there, like a prison, you know, like out here in America, we don't build our prisons in the inner city. They're out sort of in the boons. So the name of that camp is driving me crazy. I'm going to look it up while I talk to you. Isn't that lovely? That's the sound of me typing. Okay, the name of it was Dachau concentration camp. Okay, anyway, that was fast, right? So, when I got off the train in Munich to visit the concentration camp at Dachau, you got off the train and the gate to the camp was on the right, 25 feet from the train station. And the main entrance to the main plaza of the city, as in most cities in Europe, 25 steps from the train station was the big...
Hi, I'm Dave Fremland, host of The Dave Fremland Show on Podbean. Now, you can listen to me on Spotify also, but please support my podcast by clicking the follow button on the Podbean or Spotify app. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.
The church main plaza, downtown market area of the city. And along the wall of Dachau that separated it from the actual city, like a prison wall, the wall was high enough that you could actually see over the wall. And the buildings, people's backyard butted up against the wall, and other buildings butted up right up against the wall. And if you were in a six-story building, you could look right over that wall and see what's going on. So to tell me that the German people of that area, that little village, didn't know what was going on, you're telling me a lot of lies. Okay? So I asked myself, well, how did this occur? And then I look around America and I see people with stuff happening right in front of their face. Right in front of their face. And they can't see it. And I wonder to myself, how does this happen? My own family, if I was living in Nazi Germany right now, I would be fleeing from my own family. Because they are the type of people that if a Nazi officer came to them and said, do you know where there's a rebellious Jew? They would say, oh, my brother, go get him. Don't take me, go get him. We'll take the vaccine, go get him. He's a vax resistor. And they would turn me in because they would be afraid of me. Because they think something is wrong with me. And how does this happen? I was talking to my girlfriend, and she said, well, the thing is, they don't see the real news. So I get real news. How do I know my news is real? My people present factual documents. When they present their news, they present, here's the document behind it. When I watch a video from Alex Jones and he babbles on about stuff, he then presents the document. Here's the document. Here's the document where they say it. And these other news agencies like CNN, they do a lot of opinion, but they never show you a document unless the document is an opinion-oriented document, like an editorial. And so you can tell that it's propaganda based on the way that they use the language. But people who succumb to propaganda, I'm going to tell you a secret. People that supposedly think that they have a better, quote-unquote, education are highly susceptible to being propagandized, more so than people who supposedly have a, quote-unquote, less formal education. And I don't have any documents to back me up. I don't have any research I can point to. But I didn't make this up. Okay. I have heard it before from a reliable source. I can't remember who. But it is very well known in the intellectual, not quote unquote intellectual, but in like where real intellectuals study real science, is well known that the people that are more susceptible to propaganda are the people that have gone to higher learning institutions and have a longer period of formal education than those who, say, dropped out of high school and learned most of their things through practical knowledge. And I don't know why. I have never funded a research study to investigate the reason behind it, but I could surmise that it has to do with the length of time and the formality of the way that they're educated. So, for example, I didn't do well under a formal educational setting. I was a very rebellious kid. I didn't believe what the teachers told me. I didn't understand why they were pointing to this set of facts and ignoring this other set of facts and teaching me stuff. So I didn't do well in school. The teachers didn't like what I had to present in my essay. You know, I was in a class called Alcohol, Drugs, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was an educational class about addiction.
You are listening to the one and only Dave Fremlin Show on Podbean.
And at that time, I was already suffering in the throes of alcoholism at a very young age, but I was not willing to accept that it was a disease according to the way diseases are defined in medical journals. And I was looking at the idea that they were calling it a disease in order to, I don't know, I didn't want to call it a disease. I wanted it to be something that was different than disease. And the reason that the medical association was classifying it as disease was basically for purposes of financial treatment things and things like that, which is not bad. It's not a bad thing, but I didn't like it when somebody called me an alcoholic to think I was diseased. Okay? I didn't want to think it was a sickness. And in traditional sense, it's not. So it's a series of bad choices that lead to other bad reactions that lead to more bad choices. And I think 99% of alcoholism could be alleviated if it was caught early enough. And if there was enough attention paid to the alcoholic at the formative time before the alcoholism began. But I'm not a doctor and I'm not an expert. I've only had 40 years of going to AA meetings and 40 years of understanding addiction and being caught up in with around and, obsessed around addiction and mental health disorders, because it has affected my life in multiple ways. So, and most of my friends have, I would say 80% of my friends have died of addiction. Okay, so I don't want to go to that area. I just am saying I'm not 100% unqualified to express these opinions, and my opinions do not just come out of a hole in my face that's talking. It comes from the fact that I have a lot of lived experience in life, and those lived experiences can yield as much of or a better education than a formal education in school. Okay, like my niece has gone to school for, she's 30 something years old, and she's gone to school as long as I've known her. She doesn't know a damn thing. I don't think I've ever met anybody more stupid who thinks they're so smart. And I have lived my whole life. You should see my house. It is so full of stuff. I have obviously lived a good life. And I don't have a formal education whatsoever. So, and people come to me and ask me for my advice, my opinions. They ask me for guidance. And why? If I'm so dumb and uneducated, why is it that people listen to my podcast worldwide? Because the opinion that I give you is a consolidation of knowledge that I have absorbed and am now taking a current event, applying the years of knowledge that I have from experience, real experience, and real absorption of knowledge over years. And I'm consolidating that into an opinion and giving it to you. Okay, so like it or don't like it, trust me, don't trust me, I don't really care. My listenership goes up the more opinionated that I am. But I'm not opinionated based strictly on opinion. I am an intelligent human who reads. Right now, I'm reading 5 books at a time. Okay? I have a spiritual book, a political book, a financial book, a biography, and a book like a self-help type, like a recovery-oriented book. That's 5 books. I read a chapter or two of each at a time. And then I move on to the next item. Through each day, I read some chapters in each of those books because I have to absorb knowledge. Most of the stuff in my house I'm having trouble downsizing are books. All right, so don't tell me I'm not educated like my older brother tried to do. Yeah, the basis of our entire riff, the entire problem I'm having with him, is he indicated through actions, not words. Actions, not words. It's very important. He indicated through his words that he respected me, thought I was very intelligent, thought I had a great body of knowledge through lived experience. But when it came to his actions, he acted like I was a total moron with no right to have any basis of opinion whatsoever, like I couldn't read. And when I reacted to that, and I will admit I reacted very angrily to that, he took the things that I said, and he's like, you owe me an apology.
I'm Dave Fremland, and you are listening to the one and only Dave Fremland Show.
Apology for saying these terrible things to me. Whereas I'm like, you owe me an apology because I would never have said those terrible things if you had not have hurt my feelings so badly. So you need to take a look at that. And he absolutely, absolutely 100% refuses to take any responsibility whatsoever for the way that he treated me. Whereas I'm perfectly willing to apologize for the things I said to him once he admits that what he did was very, very hurtful and terrible and mean. And since he won't do that, I won't either because I don't want to give him that power. And on top of that, the truth has been revealed. The truth is revealed. You know, how you feel about me, it doesn't matter what you say. You can apologize till you're green. I know the truth. The truth is you have no respect for me. You think I'm a dunce and that I can't read and that what I do read doesn't matter. And you can say praise, platitudes all you want. I know your true feelings. And so even if you do apologize to me, I don't really know that it will do much good. So that's where that stands. And it's been a big burden on my, it's a big burden. And I wish I could come to a place with that where it becomes lighter. And I think it is, you know, over time, because I understand my part in it. I'm completely justified in being angry at somebody who says to me one thing and then acts a different way. And I am completely ready to say, yes, I said terrible, hurtful things to you, you know, and I apologize for that, but I'm not apologizing until you accept the fact that I was reacting to the horrible way that you treated me first. And I don't care if it sounds petty when I say it out loud. It doesn't sound petty to me. In fact, it sounds very reasonable. I don't want to be abused, and an abusive person is in my life that I need to set a boundary with. And that boundary is you said something and then you acted a different way. And if you're not going to treat me the way that you say that you think about me, I'm going to notice a difference, because guess what? I'm not on drugs right now and my mental health is good and I'm able to see reality. You know, you could take advantage of me when I was mentally ill and on drugs and I was being sedated by medications and whatnot. And I was, you know, a pharmacy within my bathroom cabinet. But now that my brain is reconnecting neurons and my dopamine is edgy, but I'm learning how to deal with it. Now that I have a better head on my shoulders, you can't play that game with me. So I don't have a topic for this podcast. I just kind of, it's not really a rant, but it's more of an update. And, you know, there are some strong opinions reflected in this podcast. Those opinions are all mine, and they are based on knowledge and lived experiences, okay? Take it how you want. Spread it out. Do what you need. Okay, have a nice day. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you have a happy and productive rest of the day. Bye.
The opinions expressed in the Dave Fremland Show are strictly opinions. I am not an expert. The Dave Fremland Show is written, directed, and produced by Dave Fremland and is a Dave Fremland production. Thank you for listening.